There's a big political fight going on in India this week over one of the world's biggest diamonds. There's no question the Kohinoor diamond came from Indian soil centuries ago, but it's been in London for more than 160 years, part of the crown jewels of England. It's literally set in one of the royal crowns. But some people in India want it back, and the Indian Supreme Court is hearing their petition. It's all about history, so I have the world's one-man history desk, Chris Wolfe, here with me. Chris, what's so special about the Kohinoor diamond?
Oh, its age, its size, its beauty, pretty much everything, really. It's at least 800 years old. Indian legend says maybe 3,000 years old. It's massive, maybe the size of a hen's egg. And some believe it's cursed. At least British members of the royal family, male members, won't wear it. Only female members will wear it. It's believed to bring them bad luck.
So where did it come from?
Well, there's no doubt diamonds have a kind of a geological DNA, that it's from a particular area of South India, the Krishna River. And it's a mine that's produced, over the centuries, many of the world's biggest diamonds. They're found all in all corners of the world.
How did it end up in the crown jewels of England?
Well, disclaimer here, obviously I'm originally from Britain, so a little uncomfortable talking about what is for many Indians a symbol of colonial subjugation and exploitation. But there was a treaty in 1849 between the British East India Company, which run India, and a state called Punjab, which is a Sikh state from the Sikh religion. It was run by Sikh princes. And the Brits were fed up with them. They'd had too many wars with them. They decided to end their state and take all the property of the Raja of Punjab. And that included very explicitly, in fact, I have it here, line 3 in the Treaty of Lahore of 1849, the gem called the Kohinoor, blah, 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 shall be surrendered by the Maharaja of Lahore to the Queen of England.
So what does India want?
Well, that's a good, really good question, because there's been a lot of confusion about that this week. On Monday, the Solicitor General said the Brits took it fairly in actual testimony to the Supreme Court, which is hearing the ruling. And then the next day, the government pretty much threw the Solicitor General under the political bus by saying, oh, no, he wasn't speaking on behalf of the government. We obviously are going to do everything we can to get it back. But what happened was that the Solicitor General's comments created this outrage about the Brits continuing to have this symbol. You know, you couldn't get much more of a symbol of subjugation and exploitation than having it, you know, set into a crown of a foreign power to show, you know, who's boss. And so a lot of people are upset about it. Not all of Indians, but a lot of them. And this seems to be a political backlash from the government, distancing themselves from the Solicitor General's comments, which seem to be historically very inaccurate. Unfortunately, I'm one of those guys who knows a little bit about the Sikh Wars, and which ended with the Brits giving the jewels to the crown. And there was no doubt that the Sikh nation was defeated in battle and forced to give up this stuff. You know, nothing says empire more than the spoils of war. And this is kind of a classic case of the empire taking what it thought was a good symbol of power and authority away from the local Indian prince. But I think what the issue gets to is a lot of confusion in India about how to relate to the principalities that existed before the British Empire. So there's this odd relationship, you know. If we start claiming that we inherit these things from the British crown, do they really belong to the Indian state, or do they belong to the original princes whose families are obviously still in India today?
Is Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi pushing to get this diamond returned?
Well, the government has now come out this week and said, yes, we want it back, but we're going to do everything we can in an amicable manner. So it looks like they're going to seek in a gentlemanly fashion to try and get it back from the Brits.
And with British response?
Nothing just yet, but Prime Minister David Cameron did say something kind of snotty when the issue came up in 2010 while he was on a visit to India. Kind of embarrassed to say, he says, well, we can't say yes to this because if we give in to one request, you'll suddenly find that the British Museum is empty. And I didn't think that was a very good response myself.
But he's right. The world's history guy, Chris Wolfe. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome, Carol.
And this is The World.